We're starting a new series today, like we talked about, Thrive, and I'm starting something that I want, that I hope will help you, okay? So there are people, raise your hand if you love to take notes, like you love writing things down. Okay, just looking for what I'm going to pray for this morning. I'm just kidding, but thank you for being honest. But we're starting something brand new today. We are going to have fill-ins for the sermon notes today. So if you didn't get it on the way in, raise your hand, and the ushers are ready to sprint them to you right now. Well, they'll walk, but they've got, raise them high if you want some notes. Go ahead, raise them high. They're going, while your hands are up, give God some glory. No, just kidding. Give God glory. Woo! Yeah, just go ahead and keep them up. They're running around. They're going to give you, they'll give those notes in just a moment. But I would love for you to take notes because they say that if you take notes, you have a 63% more chance of getting to heaven. So go ahead and start taking notes. Just kidding. Come on. Someone was like, show me that in the Bible, Pastor. Don't worry. It's not there. We're just having fun. Relax. Well, also, if you like taking pictures or video, if you're good at creativity, we're trying to get more people to help us tell the story of PCC with the creative arts. If that's you, we have a meeting at the Hub, which is right over there, right after service. So please, if you're good, some of you are taking pictures of me right now. That would be you. So after service, meet us at the Hub, and we would love to get you. There's some people back in the back that need some. Wave your hands. There's a lot. So when you come in, make sure you stop by the Hub next week, and there will be notes for you to fill out the sermon. I love that everybody wants to take notes. That's what it's all about. We should bring our Bibles, our notes, because I really do believe if we take notes, it'll help us. I want to take you back in time before I get started. It was around 2008, and I was so excited, I just couldn't fight it, because I was engaged to my lovely wife, Mayel. And, she was my, come on, we can give it up for Mayel. Yes, come on. And bless her, she's still here. Thank you, Jesus. And we were engaged, and I was in the middle of getting my master's, and this program was like a cohort. It was a group of pastors, and there were 10 or 12 of us in a circle. And they're going around, and one of the first things they're talking about is they're doing like a check-in, like how you're doing. Have you been in a circle like that? Like, how are you doing? How are you doing, you know? And there's always that one person that's like super excited, super thrilled with life. That was me that day. And so I'm just telling everybody, I'm getting married. Things are going great. And they were taking bets. I didn't know this, so that on my wedding day, would I have hair or not by the time it got there? I still had a few by the wedding day, so we're okay. But it was just a great group, fun guys, and so and ladies, and they were having a good time. And so I'm in the middle of telling, you know, how great my life is, how things just couldn't be better. You know, have you ever had those times in your life where there's a high mountain point, right? The next person, you could just feel the air go out of the room right there. He goes, well, not so good. And he begins to cry right there in the middle of the room. I'm just like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have been so happy. And he begins to tell his story. He was at a church. He's a pastor, an executive pastor. And that year, the lead pastor had resigned amidst allegations from the city against the church. And then they went from a huge amount of people to there was some fighting over and like a group of people, and half the church left. And then in the middle of it, they decided to make him the pastor as the interim. And then the church went even more in decline. More people were leaving, and he started getting depressed. And he's in this class with all these pastors, and he said, I'll never forget looking at every one of us, and he said, I'm not sure if I'm going to make it. And so right there, the meeting stopped, and we began to pray for this man. And I remember just being obviously shook up by this moment. Fast forward now, a decade and a half later, this happened about 18 months ago. I walk into a room, and there he is, a room full of pastors. And I looked at him, and I called him by name. And I said, hey, how are you doing? And he goes, I'm fantastic. And I'm like, what happened? I haven't seen you in a while. And it was so funny because the last time I saw him, he was depressed. He was down. Have you ever been like that in life, right? I mean, you're just, it's funny. You know, you talk about people in a row looking down your aisle, by the way. You never know what the person next to you is going through, do you? They could be at the high or they could be at the low. And I remember meeting him and he is just thrilled. And I just said, what happened? I literally said that to him. I said, last time I talked to you, you were done with ministry. Like, you were ready to be done. And he said, you'll just never believe it. So I went from there. I actually quit ministry for a while. And I went to work for a college. And God started to do some work on my heart. And I started attending a church. And he started healing me, started healing my family. We started praying. God started doing a work. And the pastor, you know what he did to me? He asked me to come on staff. I said, what are you thinking? Do you know what I've just gone through? The pastor said, no, come on. So he said, all right, I'll give you 5 hours a month. That's it. So he started with 5 hours. Then it went to 15. Then it went to part-time. Then it went to full-time. Well, then he's been serving. I was like, oh, so you're the executive of this church, right? And he goes, no, they just made me lead pastor. And I was like, oh my gosh. And he goes, and it's going better. We just planted 2 more churches. It's amazing. And I thought, what happened? And I believe his life is a perfect example of what can happen when you get your soul in the right soil. I'm going to say that again. Your life will change when your soul is in the right soil. And this is your big idea this morning. I hope you're taking notes. A lot of you just got paper, so here we go. You are only as healthy as the soil contents. What I tell students a lot of times is, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. What you're watching, what you're intaking, the things that are around you, the soil of your life, it absolutely matters. And in the Bible, the psalmist, we think it's David, but he actually doesn't say who wrote it. In Psalms chapter 1, verse 1, I want to read it for you. David says something that's so profound. It's really simple. It's just light and dark. It's yes and no. It's obey, disobey. But what if you do one over here and you don't do it, guess what happens? You don't thrive. You actually die. So here's what it says. Psalms 1, verse 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. Did you see that language right there? Step, sit, or stand with who? Sinners, mockers, and the wicked. In other words, if you're in the soil of people that are sinners, mockers, and the wicked, guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to become sinners, mockers, and the wicked. We live in a culture that thinks mocking is like the best you can at mocking somebody. It's like you get a gold medal for that. But David's warning all of us here this morning, if your soil of your life, I want you to think about the language at your house. Dare I say the language of your van on the ride in? How's the language? How's the soil? Because it determines whether or not you'll thrive. So here's what happens. But those who delight in the law of the Lord and who meditate on it, law day and night. Meditate on the law day and night. What is that saying? Memorize the word of God. Memorize God's word. Memorize the laws of God so that you know what they are. This past week, I challenge everybody to memorize John 15, 5. Who memorized it? Oh, hey, let's go. That was more than the first. Come on, 9 a.m. They were still waking up, I think. 11. So look at your notes. Do you see there's a new verse? There's a new verse this week. This week, Titus and I memorized all week long, and he's got it down. Should I make you come up and say it? Yeah. You want to do it? Oh, he's coming. Run around and get a mic. Run. All right. So man, he's going to do it. Titus, let's go. John 15, 5. Are you ready for this? Man, look at this confidence. I like it. Let's go.
Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing.
Let's go. Come on. Okay. Isn't that amazing? I want to say the big idea one more time. You are only as healthy as the soil contents. Do you understand what we're saying when I say that? It doesn't matter if the seed is the most perfect seed ever. It matters where it lands. Right? So here's why I want you to connect the dots. Titus has been hearing sermons, but he sees us live it out during the week. Every night, Mael and I, we pray over our boys. We read scripture. We talk about the things of God. If you're too close to Tate for too long, he'll cast a demon out of you. I don't know. He is full of faith. He might even heal you. Whatever is going on in your life, he's ready. I need you to hear this because it's not just what I say. It's how we live that matters, isn't it? It's the soil of your soul. It's what you're putting in your life that really matters. And so we are people that meditate on the Word of God. If you want to change your life, if you want to change your circumstances, if you want to change the way that you feel, memorize the Word of God. Nothing will change your life faster than memorizing the Word of God. So we meditate on it day and night. Next verse should be verse 4. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff. I'm sorry, I skipped verse 3. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water. Come on, we got to get all the verses. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. That looks like thriving to me, doesn't it? Not so the wicked. They are like the chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the day of judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. My prayer for all of us at Portland Christian Center and those online, thank you for joining us, is that you would thrive like never before. But we have to make a choice, don't we? Are we going to put ourselves in the right soil, or are we going to put ourselves in a soil that's going to lead to death in our lives? My prayer is that you would simply make that choice. Now, before we go too much further on this word thrive, it's really important that we understand what we're talking about. Because in case you're wondering, we live in a culture that's trying to redefine terms. Hello? So let's just go, what does thrive actually mean? Okay? So it should come up on your screen. Thrive means to grow or develop well or vigorously. It's like growing fast. In our family, one of the fun things that we have on our wall is a measuring stick that's about 6 foot. I think it's 6'5". I'm not sure how tall it is. It's 6 foot. Oh, man. I'm not that tall, so I was kind of like, I was hoping it was taller than that. So the boys have been standing up to it and measuring as they grow, and we write their names. Anybody have done this with their kids or anything like that? You measure how, it's really fun to do, right? Well, right now, Titus is convinced that he's taller than Mael. And so we measured them this morning and took pictures, and they are exactly 5'6". They are exactly like right there. And here's the question. How do we know that our children are growing? Because we measure it by where they once were. Am I right? So I want you to think about your life. This is where you have to honestly assess your life, and you ask yourselves things like this. Is the fruit of the Spirit more evident in my life today than it was yesterday? Oh man, don't leave, okay? Don't worry, there's hope. Okay? Am I sweeter today than I was yesterday? Am I sharing my faith more boldly than I did yesterday? You see, just because we get older doesn't mean we mature. Yeah, that's true. The truth is, age is inevitable, but growth is a choice, isn't it? Spiritual growth is a choice. How about this? Relationship with your spouse doesn't happen on accident. Relationship with your children, your grandchildren, does that happen on accident? It takes intentionality. It takes a decision. And it also takes you saying, okay, am I growing, developing? There should be, every single one of you should be taking a next step. But pastor, you know, I've been serving God for 75 years. I'm pretty mature. I don't need to go to Bible study anymore. I don't need to be a part of church. I can just sit at home and watch. I know it all. And I would just say, if that's really you and you believe that, I'm praying for you right now, because pride is at your door and you're in trouble. The person who thinks they know it all is in the biggest trouble. Why? Because that's pride. And the Bible says God opposes the proud and he gives grace to the humble. If you think you've got it figured out, the altar will be open in a little bit. You could lay it down at Jesus. And my prayer is that you'll genuinely ask yourself, am I thriving? Am I thriving? You see, this series really comes out of a study that was done in 1995, and it looked at healthy churches. And they said every healthy church has these eight characteristics. And as I went through this study, it was an academic study, I started to realize that it's actually extremely applicable for the people of God, not just the church. In other words, if we would take these same principles, I believe that if we had all eight working, you would be thriving in every area of your life. So today I'm going to talk about the first ingredient for the soil, if you will, the first step that you and I need to take to start having a life that will thrive if you're not already doing it. And the next seven will come over the next 7 weeks. So guess what? You got to come back if you want to learn them all. Because here's why. When you look at the study, one of the things they said, I thought it was so incredible, is they said that it's like an engine of a car. If you had a V8, who has a V8 car? Oh, really? We need some more horsepower in this house. Come on. All right. So you have eight cylinders, but seven of them work and one of them doesn't. What's going to happen to your car? It's not going to go very well, is it? The same is true. You can try and have one, two, three, or four working, but you actually need all eight of these to be thriving in the kingdom of God. So my challenge to you is to show up for the next 8 weeks, to grab your notes and to plug in and grow, because you were designed to thrive. Tell your neighbor, he's talking to you. So the first thing we want to answer, here we go, number one, is what is the first ingredient for a healthy church and healthy people of God? What's the first ingredient? You ready? And it's our value of our church. Number one is passionate love for God. I was expecting an amen, but that's okay. That's okay. Just we'll save it for later. I know you're warming up. Passionate love for God. And the reason I say passionate is because we have a lot of people who would verbally say, oh, yeah, I love God. Oh, yeah, I agree with what the Bible says. Oh, yeah, I kind of believe that. But we're seeing more and more a culture that would like to say on their social media, yeah, I'm a Christian, but then if you follow their lives, they have no idea who God is. And I'm here today to tell you, that's not what thriving looks like. That's the wrong soil. The first ingredient to thriving in the kingdom of God is passionately loving him. That's why we say our number one value at Portland Christian Center is loving God. That's why we take time every Sunday to worship him. Why? Because he deserves the praise, not me. Passionately loving God. So you might be here and you'd be like, man, Pastor Nate, I would say I love God, but my passion meter's a little low. Pastor Mael preached an amazing sermon a few weeks ago, and she talked about, ain't no rocks gonna cry out in my place. Do you remember that? And one of the things she said was, our passion level should be that of Christ. So the question is, how's our passion level? And I want to tell you something I hope will give you hope, is that we're not the first ones to actually have our passion level drop. Do you know that in the book of Revelation, there's a warning against a church because their passion level have dropped? And here's the great thing, check this out. It's not only a warning of that this is the problem, like a doctor who says, hey, you have a problem with your foot. He actually has a solution. So check out this solution. It's in Revelation, And we're going to go to chapter 2, verse 1, and it's about this church in Ephesus. And this is what it says: "To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven gold lampstands." Now, this is critical. Listen to the deeds, or like the works of this church. This is what this church is known for, which is pretty good. "I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance." Good things? Okay, all good things. "I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people." Hey, they read Psalms 1, right? They're not walking, standing, or sitting with wicked, okay? "People, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary." Okay, so far, so good. Now watch this. "Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first." In other words, you're going through the motions. In other words, you know how to be nice and fake a smile, but your heart's not in it. You're missing the secret ingredient that will make your life thrive like never before. It's that passionate love for God. It's saying, "I love you above all else. There's no one like you." And this is what he says: "Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate." So people are like, excuse me, Pastor Nate, who are those Nicolaitans and what did they do? Anybody else? I had someone after, like, first service, like, "You never told us what the Nicolaitans did." I'm so sorry. I will tell you. You want to know what they did? They were okay with adultery, and they also ate food that was sacrificed to idols. Pretty bad things to do. Anybody else with me on that one? All right. So he's saying, I'm so glad that you don't do those things. I'm so glad that you don't do those things. But you're not in love with me. You're not in love with Jesus. And that whole picture of a lampstand, I don't want to be too funny, but it's kind of funny. You remember that show, Survivor, when you have a little tiki torch and they say, "The tribe has spoken"? That's the warning. If your love doesn't return back to God, if you don't love him like your first love, guess what's going to happen? Your light is going to be out. The way that churches thrive in a culture like this is that we are so on fire and in love for God that the world looks around and says, "Wow, they're different. They're passionate about God. I can't say anything else about them, but I can tell they passionately love God." And my prayer for every person here is that you will begin to add your passionate love for God back into the soil of your life. Because if you do not, the warning is clear in Revelation: the light will be put out. Because here's why: you'll put it out. You know how you put it out? Because you will love the things of this world more than you'll love God. You've got to understand there's always something fighting for your love and your attention. The world wants both of those. How do I know that? Look at the advertisements. They want you to buy everything. We are more in debt than ever because we see a world that has everything we want and we can't have it, so we put it on a credit card. And we want more, more, more. I'm just not happy. I don't have enough of things that make me happy. And the kingdom of God is saying, all of this is going to pass away. If you will have your heart come back to me. So how do we do that? How do we do that? He warns it, verse 4, number one, you have to see the warning. Number one, you have forsaken the love you had at first. So what are we to do? What are we to do? Does anybody have, like, I don't know, a cell phone or a purchase thing where if you are logged into your bank and it has something called two-step verification? I cannot stand that. Anybody else with me on that? I'm like, I don't know why I need two. I don't know. All right, I'll let it go. I got it off my chest. I feel so much better now. But two steps to restore the passion for God. You ready for that? Number one is repent. He says, if you repent. Now, the problem that we have in our culture is we think repentance looks like this. You ready? I'm so sorry. Sorry. God, you see, I'm sorry. But then we go and do it again. And we do what we want to do. I'm so sorry. I'll do it again. I'm so sorry. But that's not what repentance means. Repentance means I change the way I think, which changes the way I act, which means I'm headed this direction and I'm like, I'm going to die. Life. I'm not going to stand with the wicked. I'm not going to sit with the mockers. I'm not going to step in the way of sinners. I am going to put my life in the soil with God, and I'm going to love him all the days of my life, and I'm going to pursue his heart above all else. But that is not easy to do. And you want to know why? Because we have trained people to be committed followers of Jesus instead of followers that surrender their lives to Jesus. What's the difference? Commitment looks like, you know, I want a six-pack by this summer. So I am committed to working out and eating right. And, you know, I'm not going to have sugar ever again until that happens. I'm committed. But how many know? 8 o'clock at night comes. That pantry's got some candy in there, and I'm like, oh, and then everybody else is eating it. I'm sorry, this illustration is getting real fast, isn't it? It's a commitment that I can break. But surrender looks different. Surrender is like if you were to get arrested and they put the cuffs on you, you have surrendered. You have given up your rights. You have given up control. You have given up your power. You have said, actually, I am ruining my life. I'm going to give it back to you. And that's the message of the gospel. It's not your ability to say, I'm committed when Jesus blesses me, but when I go through a hard time, I'm out. I have surrendered my life to him. Therefore, I no longer live, but Christ in me. So if you're going to passionately love Jesus, the question you have to ask yourself is, what have you surrendered? Or maybe even worse, what haven't you surrendered? That's what repentance really looks like. So if we're going to change our passion level, we've got to repent from the things that have taken our hearts away from him. The second thing it says is this is to do the things you did at first. What were the things that you did at first? And if you go into the Old Testament, you know what the first thing they did? The first command God gave is that you are to have no other gods before me. You are to worship him and him alone. That's a challenge for our culture. You know why? Because we like to worship ourselves. In fact, if you talk to people that have problems or like any of the gurus that you see online, you know what they say? Just discover yourself. Go sit in a corner in a closet, get a happy light, and just think all about yourself and you'll feel better. My question is, how's that working? Jesus said something a little bit different, a little radical. You know what he said? If anybody wants to find their life, they'll deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. If you want to find yourself, you're going to lose it. But if you lose yourself for me, there you'll find it. The passion for your for God doesn't start with looking in. It starts with looking at him. And my challenge for you is to focus your eyes, your heart, back on the one who made you, back on the one who loves you. Why? Because Jesus is here. His presence is here. He loves you. He loves you. There was a little boy who was at a service kind of similar like this and had a great church and went home and he was getting down to say his prayers and he was talking to God and his parents were so proud of him. And he was saying, oh, Lord, thank you for mommy. Thank you for daddy. Thank you for church today. And then he said something that stopped his parents in their tracks. If only Jesus, you would have been there. And I thought, isn't that the problem with the American church? We played church, but we didn't meet Jesus. If only he had been there. The truth is, he is here. But our passion level has waned to the point that we're more concerned about what I'm eating in about 30 minutes than connecting with the Almighty God who will satisfy the deepest longings of my soul. That's why I worship him. My prayer is for you is that you would wake up and get your heart in the soil of the kingdom of God and worship him. The second thing that you need to do, the things that you do at first, number one was worship. That's what they said in the Old Testament. The second thing they also said in the Old Testament was scripture, memorize the word of God. They were to write it on the tablets, on their wrists, on their doorposts, all over their house. They were supposed to memorize it day and night. There's a pastor up in Renton who was saved out of horrible brokenness in his family. Parents were divorced, a mess everywhere, drugs, everything you could imagine. And it was a school bus ministry that brought this little boy to church one day. He got saved and they brought him to church every week. And when he got in high school, you know what he did? He memorized the New Testament. And you know why he did it? Because he needed to change his life. Romans 12:2 says this, we are transformed by renewing your mind. If you want to change your life, change the way you think. You see, the neural pathways in your brain are like grooves. And when you're going through life, it's really easy to bounce back into fear. It's really, really easy to bounce back into anxiety. How about anger? How about control? How about I want to go back to my old lifestyle? But when you intentionally start memorizing scripture, you start getting new grooves. And instead of falling back into fear and temptation, you fall into the arms of Jesus. That's my prayer for every person here, that you would fall in love with Jesus like never before. We worship. We read and memorize the scripture. And the last one is that we pray. We pray. When was the last time that you just pulled your family together and said, we want to call on God? We just want to pray. No other agenda but talking to Jesus. Saying, Jesus, I love you. More than, Lord, good food, good meat, let's eat. Let's actually encounter him in our homes. Because here's the truth. Sundays aren't enough, folks. We know this. Every day of the week is a chance to encounter the love of God. And that's how you're going to thrive. My prayer for you is you're going to thrive because that's the way God designed you to live. You are designed to thrive. So how's your passion level? How's the soil of your soul? Right now at our house, our front yard lawn looks incredible. I get a tear every time I pull up. It's amazing. But if you go in the backyard, we left the trampoline in one spot for a full year. And guess what's happening to that ground right now? We just moved the trampoline. Guess what's there now? It's dead. Dead. Like it's brown and it's dead. So we moved the trampoline and I'm ready to grow some grass. So guess what I got? I got some seed. I got some fertilizer. My dad used to use something called sweet soil stuff. I don't even know what it is. I got a bag of it and I put it in there. And lime, that's what it is. I threw lime down and I am praying over it right now. And we are in the early stages, folks, but I see the grass growing. It's coming. It's coming. But some of the seed fell on the patio. And this morning, I looked, and those seedlings are brown and dead now. The gospel is being preached to you right now. What soil condition is your heart? Are you the dirt or are you hard as a rock? What's the condition of the soil of your heart? If it's hard, it's time to repent. It's time to come back to Jesus. He loves you and he has a plan for your life. Would you stand with me? There was a pastor who went to China, and he was brought there to train this group of Christians on how they should lead a movement to reach China for God. This is about 15 years ago. And he shows up and he finds out that 22 people took a bus for 16 hours, drove all the way up to this conference to hear him speak. But in China, if you're a Christian, you can get killed or thrown in jail. So they hit them two by two into an elevator all the way up into a conference room, and there were thousands of them, a massive convention, all hidden secretly up to this room. And as they're up there, they're getting ready to hear from this pastor, and they start at 9 in the morning. And he was thinking, this pastor, that'll be a couple hours, they'll be done for lunch. He had really no idea. They went for 13 hours that day, preaching, praying, worshiping, calling on God. And he said by the end of it, he was exhausted. He's ready to go home. And as he's getting ready to leave, this little Chinese lady walks up to him and says, thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor. And she said, Pastor, I'm praying that our church will be as powerful as the American church. And he just started weeping. And he said, God, forgive me. I just taught a class and you just taught me more about passionate love for God than I'll ever be able to teach you. And he said, ma'am, please don't say that. We need to be more like you. The American church has fallen in love with sound system and lasers and smoke and fog, the best, nicest seats, and I'm here in a gym and the presence of God is so tangible, it's amazing. We've got to come back to the passionate love of God, the soil of your heart. So if you could bow your heads and close your eyes, I want to ask you a very personal and probably the most important question of your life. Do you know Jesus? We had 16 people get baptized that went from death to life, but maybe you're here and you're like, man, I need to raise my hand and receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I'm not going to embarrass you. All I'm going to ask is that you raise your hand and we're going to pray with you and offer you a next step, which is not going to embarrass you at all. But if you're here and you want to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you know that you need to repent and turn back to Him, would you just slip up your hand right where you are? I want to pray for you right where you are. Is there anybody here that wants to receive Jesus? Thank you. I see that hand. That's awesome. Anybody else? You're ready to come back to God. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all pray together. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Wash me and make me clean. I'm going to follow you all the days of my life. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, let's rejoice for those that accepted Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want to ask you to just take one next step, and it's really easy. Grab your cell phone, and all you got to do is text next steps to 503-905-6595, and we will connect with you and help you get on your way to following Jesus. Isn't that awesome? This next question is going to be a little more personal for some of us, is this. As I was talking, you started realizing that your passion level for Jesus isn't where it should be, that you need to take a next step. And if that's you this morning, I want to pray for your heart. I want to pray that your passion level will go to another level. So if that's you, I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand and say, Jesus, I want my passion for you to raise. Anybody here? Oh, come on. There's lots of hands going up. I want my passion level to raise. Jesus, I pray for every hand as a sign of faith. They've fallen in love with things that aren't as important, the things that shouldn't matter. I pray right now in Jesus' name that as we begin to worship you, we would take our eyes off ourselves. We would fall back in love with you, Jesus. It's more than emotion. It's passion. It's a decision that follows emotion and logic. It's all about you, Jesus. We passionately love you. We worship you. We give you the praise and the glory and the honor.
Hello, my name is Pastor John, and I'm the online campus pastor here at Portland Christian Center. I wanted to first of all thank you for listening to this message, and our prayer is that what you heard today has inspired something within you on your journey to discover more of who God is. I do want to give one more opportunity to accept Christ. So if you're listening today and want to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, then please pray this with me. Lord Jesus, for too long I've kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. I am ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead on the third day. Thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior. Amen. If you prayed that prayer to accept Christ, congratulations. We at Portland Christian Center call that decision your best yes. And we are here to help you walk forward in your faith journey. So whether you receive Christ today or are curious more about Portland Christian Center and what's happening here, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. That's pcctoday.com.